Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, with episode 2 of our series on spiritual warfare. The last episode, we looked at the King of Tyre, the conflict between God and money, and the three heavens, first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. We saw about the fall of Satan. We learned about the history of the great battle that's going on between God and Lucifer, and how it's going to end up, and how, as born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we can have victory. Well, in this episode, we're not going to look at the King of Tyre. We're going to look at the King of Babylon as a symbol of Lucifer, as of the dragon and of his Babylonian kingdom that will at some point take over the earth for the tribulation. And it's going to be a fascinating episode, and you're going to learn a lot more about spiritual warfare. Before that, let's pray. Father in heaven, this is your world. It is the Father's world. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We declare victory. We declare that you will trample the evil one underfoot. We declare that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We declare that Babylon is fallen from the foundation of the world. Mount Babylon will not rise up. It will not triumph. It will not have victory over us. But the kingdom of God shall come and put an end to all the kingdoms of this world. Now, as we listen to this episode and as I speak, may your Holy Spirit go forth with power. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's get your Bibles open to an obscure passage in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 14. We'll start right from verse 1 and we'll go right through to the end of the chapter. It's quite long, and we'll also be looking at Revelation chapter 17 and 18. In this time as the world falls apart as many things happen, locust plagues, coronaviruses, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and things shaking this earth. We need to know what's coming, and we need to know that in Christ we shall be victorious. Isaiah 14 verse 1. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land, then strangers will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. And the peoples will take them along and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel will possess them as an inheritance in the land of the Lord, as male servants and female servants. And they will take their captors captive, and will rule over their oppressors. This is talking about the victory of the church. And it will be in the day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil, and harsh service in which you have been enslaved, that you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. Remember, the king of Babylon represents Satan here. And say, how the oppressor has ceased, and how fury has ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers, which used to strike the peoples in fury with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger with unrestrained persecution. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into shouts of joy. Even the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since you were laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead. And this is being a sarcastic taunt against the king of Babylon. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as we. You have become like us. Your pomp and the music of your harps has been brought down to Sheol. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. Remember, Jesus says their fire will not be quenched and their worm will not die. Well, the king of Babylon's been defeated and he's cast down to hell, and worms are his covering. Verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning. That's Lucifer, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God.
and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." You see, Lucifer, Satan, the dragon, is boasting that he's going to be higher than God. And that's his boast. And that's why he gets cast down into Sheol. "Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol in the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness, and overthrew its cities, who did not allow his prisoners to go home? All the kings of the nations lie in glory, each in his own tomb. But you have been cast out of your tomb like a rejected branch, clothed with the slain who are pierced with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a trampled corpse. You will not be united with them in burial, because you have ruined your country. You have slain your people. May the offspring of evildoers not be mentioned forever. Prepare for his sons a place of slaughter, because of the iniquity of their fathers. They must not arise and take possessions of the earth, and fill the face of the world with cities. And I will rise up against them, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will cut off from Babylon name and survivors, offspring and posterity, declares the Lord. I'll also make it a possession for the hedgehog and swamps of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, declares the Lord of hosts." So Babylon now exists in Iraq, or rather the ruins of Babylon exist in Iraq, a little bit outside of Baghdad. And people have tried to rebuild it over the years and never come to anything. Saddam Hussein tried to rebuild the city. So the old ancient Babylon, which lasted till about 400 AD, it was grand, and then it got taken over by the Medes and the Persians. And then it became a Jewish settlement. A lot of Jews used to live there. And then it faded away to nothing. In about 400 AD, there was no one living there. And it was under this great curse from God, because the Babylonians invaded Israel and burned the temple and did many awful things. And then, of course, we know about Daniel going into Babylon, and Esther and Mordecai and people like that who lived in Babylon. We have their stories in the Bible. But there is going to come another Babylon, a final Babylon, a Babylon that is going to be somewhere in the Middle East. I am sort of guessing that the city of Neom, which the Saudi Arabians are building, will be the new Babylon. But we don't know where the new Babylon is exactly going to be. Some people say Rome. Other people have various locations. Some people say New York. The only place called Babylon in the world today is a Babylon village in New York. And that's where radio was invented by Marconi. So we're not quite sure of the location. There are many, many disputes about that. But we're not going into all those theological things. We'll know when the new Babylon arises. And it will be a center of world trade that utterly opposes God. But before we talk about that, let's look at this king of Babylon. What was he trying to do? Well, we find out that he was a terrifying person who took over the whole world, and all the nations of the world were afraid of this king of Babylon. He slaughtered his own people. He persecuted everybody. Everyone was terrified of him, and his ambition was to make himself above God, to put his throne up there with the Most High. And the king of Babylon is the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is the devil in human form. So just like Jesus Christ was God in human form, then the Antichrist will be the devil in human form, and he will take over the earth for 7 years during the tribulation. Some say seven, some say 3.5, depending on your theory. But there will be a great tribulation, and the Antichrist will be the devil in human flesh. Now, how does he become the devil in human flesh? We covered a bit of that in the first broadcast. I'll go over it again. There are three heavens: third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. And then there's the earth. And there's underneath the earth and the pit and hell. And they're the spiritual realms. And so we find the devil is cast out of the third heaven a long time ago in ancient times. He falls down to earth and occupies the second heaven up until the cross. Jesus' victory on the cross makes sure he's cast from the second heaven down to the first heaven. He is now prince of the power of the air. As prince of the power of the air, he then tries to fight Michael and the archangels and loses, and he and his demons are cast down to earth. The casting down of Satan and the demons to earth is a terrible thing. He comes down with great fury, and then in his fury and in his power, he takes over the earth. And there's all sorts of plagues and persecutions, and that's covered in Revelation chapter 12. And so we see from Revelation 12 onwards the unveiling of the Antichrist. And because he's cast out of the heavens, he has to take a body. And the body is that of the Antichrist, who sets himself above Christ, does false signs and wonders to deceive even the elect, and is a man of great viciousness who makes everyone get the mark of the beast and has a massive persecution where all these people are beheaded for the sake of the gospel. And we find these people coming out of the tribulation as martyrs standing before heaven in white robes. So this is the king of Babylon. This is the Antichrist. This is the blasphemer. This is the one who is called the beast, and he wants worship of the image of the beast. He demands worship, and there's a false prophet with him, and so on and so forth. So this king of Babylon, this one who becomes the beast, he is demanding worship. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I'll raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And so he is extremely boastful. He wants to rule over the whole earth. He wants to be worshipped like God and demands worship more than any other being on the face of the earth. And this Antichrist probably will emerge in the next, I don't know how many years. It might be the next 5 years. It might be in the next 50. But I would say sooner than later, with the rise of the technology that's happening around the world and the disasters that are happening upon us. I don't know when the Antichrist will arise. It could be this year. I have no idea. That is in the schedule of God and is not given to me to know the times and seasons that the Father has appointed. But we do have to know that evil wants to prevail, and evil wants to destroy the church. Evil wants to seduce and deceive Christians. Evil wants to have false signs and wonders on the earth that lead people astray by promising them great prosperity and wealth. And so at the moment, you need to know who you're dealing with in spiritual warfare. And one of the people that you're dealing with in spiritual warfare is this king of Babylon, who rises above all the other kings of the earth. And when he goes down to the grave, all the other kings who are already dead rise up and give him some sort of respect, but a mocking respect. They say, now you who ruled over the entire world, you're now as weak as us. Now you're down here in the gloom with us, and your bed is the worms. And you've been cast down out of heaven, out of earth, and you've lost. And the ultimate fate of the king of Babylon is to lose and to be cast down. And he knows that, and Satan knows that his time is short. So he's going around the world with great fury. And we find that the communist regime in China is persecuting Christians. And the Muslims are persecuting Christians. And people like Al-Shabaab and all those, they're persecuting Christians. And all the people up there in Nigeria who are being killed for the gospel. And all the rest. This is happening, and the spirit of wickedness, the spirit of the Antichrist, is going around the world, deceiving people and setting them against God, setting them against Jesus Christ, setting them against the church and against Christians, and preparing for a great war with Israel. And we're preparing for the Gog and Magog war. Again, I don't know what that's going to be, but it's all coming together. And this Babylon is this evil kingdom. Now, let's go over to Revelation 17 and 18, where we're going to hear a bit more about this Babylon that takes over the whole earth. Let's go Revelation 17, and it's a fairly vivid thing. There's a lot of reading here, so just put up with me as I read big chunks of scripture, but it's interesting, and you want to have your Bibles open at Revelation 17. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke to me, "Come here, I shall show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and the unclean things of her immorality, and upon her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I shall tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw that was and is not and is about to come out of the abyss and to go to destruction. That's the king of Babylon. He's going to come out from where he's vanished in history and then go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will wonder, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes he must remain a little while. And the beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, and have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, the waters which you saw, where the harlot sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh, and will burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose, and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is a great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So in the end times, there will be a great city that reigns over all the kings of the earth, the kings that rise up in the grave and receive the Antichrist when he is finally cast down there. And this Babylonian system, this woman, is a multicultural, multi-nation confederation of great wealth and wickedness. It's kind of a globalized wicked kingdom. So it kind of represents globalization and trade and wealth and power. And this global system gradually puts a beast in power, and the beast turns around and tears the globalized system to pieces. So we don't get all the details yet. We don't know what the 10 nations are. People guess. I'm not going to go into those details. But I'm saying that this Babylonian system will arise, and it will be wealthy. It will be powerful. It will have the blood of the saints all over it. It will persecute Christians relentlessly, but the Lamb will be victorious. Let's get the good news here in verse 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. So the church, the kingdom of God, defeats this evil harlot beast that takes over the end of the earth. It mightn't defeat it militarily, but it defeats it spiritually, because we are sons and daughters of the living God, and we have eternal life. And this kingdom is of the flesh. It's of the spirits of the age. It has no eternal ability to exist whatsoever. And so if we are faithful and true and chosen, we will have victory over this Babylon. Going into chapter 18 at a bit of a gallop here. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of immorality." So this kingdom will be very loose, and we see that immorality taking over the world today. "And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." So this globalized Babylonian system, led by the king of Babylon, it's full of wealth, and it's full of immorality, and it's very sensual, and it's thrown off all restraints, all moral restraints. And we see marriage being destroyed. We see all kinds of weird marriage being brought in, the family being destroyed. That's all part of this Babylonian system. And eventually it becomes a dwelling place of demons. 18 verse 4 now. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back, even as she has been paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence, and mourning, and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And so we're finding that this terrible judgment's coming, and it says to the church, come out from her. In other words, we cannot share the same greed, the same materialism, the same sensuality, the same immorality that this Babylonian kingdom has. Now, come out of her might refer to the rapture, but it also refers to us not being partnered, not being unequally yoked with the powers of darkness. We are not to build a business with someone who is Babylonian in nature. We're not to marry someone who is Babylonian in nature. We're not to engage in the immorality and wickedness of the world. We are to be separate from the world. We're to come out from the world, and we see that in 2 Corinthians 6. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And this separation is going to get further and further apart because of 666 and many other things. The believers and the unbelievers will be separated. The believers will be blessed and the unbelievers will be cursed. The believers might become martyrs, but they will have eternal life. The unbelievers will receive the mark of the beast, and they will lie down in torment forever, and their smoke goes up forever and ever. Going on in Revelation 18. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city. For in one hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep, and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. So here, this great globalized trade of all these luxury goods. If you go to an airport today, they have all this perfume and all this whiskey and all these advertisements about the high, rich life and all the things that you can go and buy your Rolls Royce or your Lamborghini. All of that will go away in 1 hour. Babylon will burn. Babylon will be overthrown quickly. And all the merchants of the earth in their big container ships or their big aircraft, they're going to weep and wail because their profit will have gone. The city was so wealthy. It was absorbing all the luxuries. If you go to Dubai or somewhere like that where people have tigers in their cars and immense wealth and the sheikhs are driving around, and somehow this Middle Eastern wealth will get even more luxurious, and the supermodels and all this kind of stuff. It'll all be in Babylon, but it will be so wicked, it'll be so immoral, it'll be so dangerous, it will be so spiritually seductive that people will just go, oh my goodness, I need to be here, I need to be in Babylon. But their soul will be removed from them if they participate in Babylon. It will be the end of their living soul, and we need to come out from all this envy of the world, all this selfish ambition, all this materialism. We need to switch our minds off from that. Yes, God prospers, but first of all, he prospers us spiritually. Let's keep on going. I've gotten very little time. And the fruit you long has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city. She was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour such great wealth has been laid waste. And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor, as many make their living by the sea, stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, in which all her ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she has been laid waste. And then we haven't got time to get through the rest of Revelation 18. And it just says the last verse. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all who have been slain in the earth. And so it tells us to rejoice over the fall of Babylon as well. Verse 20 says, "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment against her. And a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, Thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer." So this Babylonian system, it mightn't be a literal city called Babylon, it might have another name, but it will be spiritual Babylon. It will seek to cast down everything that is Christian, everything of Christ, everything of holiness, everything that says there is a God in heaven who made the heavens and the earth and the things of the earth. It will stand against holiness. It will be a city that values immorality and wealth and luxury, and in which God is overthrown and is not heard. If you go to Wall Street and you talk about God, people look at you like you're mad. What's that got to do with the market? What's holiness got to do with the market? What's it got to do with whether the Dow Jones is up or down? These people think you're mad if you talk about obeying God. They have their mistresses. They have their fast cars. But their hearts are dead and they are not born again. They are not sons and daughters of the living God. And if you're listening to this, come out from Babylon. Come out from your desires for the rich and glorious things of the earth. Don't listen to those preachers that have big wrist watches hanging off their wrists and run around with big cars and plunder their flocks and preach about prosperity. Don't listen to those people. They're deceiving you. They're false preachers. Listen to the preacher that tells you about holiness, that tells you about Jesus, that tells you about the cross, that tells you about obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is going to lead you in the right direction. He's going to lead you to the living water, which is the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you to eternal life. And when you're up there in heaven and you see Babylon being burned and you see all the wealth of the world be consumed, but you've got robes of righteousness and you're walking on streets of gold and you're going through gates that are a single pearl and their wealth of heaven is millions and millions of times that of the city of Babylon, you will know you've arrived in the right place. And that God has been your shepherd, and you've gone through suffering, you've gone through terrible trials and tribulations, but God's taken you out of them all. You might have been a martyr, you might have suffered a lot for Jesus, but you will receive your eternal reward and inheritance in the eternal kingdom. So I've run out of time, but this is John Edmiston with Insight for Eternity signing off. God bless you all, and walk righteously in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.